Bishop Hans Martinsen stands at the window and looks down at the growing crowd outside the Church of Our Lady in Copenhagen. It is crucial that no one sees him and thinks he was present at the funeral of his former pupil, now scourge of all Christendom, Søren Kierkegaard. The year is 1855. On Friday, November the 16th, Denmark's most venerable newspaper announced, "On the evening of Sunday, the 11th of this month, after an illness of 6 weeks, Dr. Søren Ube Kierkegaard was taken from this earthly life in his 43rd year by a calm death, which hereby is sorrowfully announced on his own behalf of the rest of the family by his brother, Peter Christian Kierkegaard." This calm announcement hides a churning storm. In fact, the newspaper, church, and literary world, as well as the common man, were abuzz with speculation about Kierkegaard. An enigmatic, brilliant loner with more than a whiff of scandal about him, Søren Kierkegaard had long enjoyed the reputation of something of a dangerous man about town. The reading public knew him as the man who produced countless books, which some of which were laugh-out-loud funny. Others too dense to understand, and yet others deeply offensive to sophisticated sensibility. Theatre-goers and restaurant patrons knew him as a frequent visitor to every play, opera, and cafe in town. Religious people knew that Søren had been a promising theology student, and that he constantly wrote about Christianity, yet had given up going to church ages ago, and had refused to accept communion on his own deathbed. He even refused to see his own brother, a priest. Romantic ladies and gentlemen knew that Søren had been engaged to a lovely young woman, but that for some mysterious reason it had all been broken off. Gossip mongers and scandal seekers, basically everyone, knew of Kierkegaard from the caricatures and mean-spirited cartoons that the cheap, anonymous magazine The Corsair was always churning out. Playwrights knew that if they were writing a satirical play, to name a character Søren would always get laughs. Young mothers with firstborn sons declined to name their boy Søren for exactly the same reason. The King of Denmark remembered him as the one who occasionally came to visit and who always made such stimulating conversation. Fishwives, innkeepers, shoeshine boys knew of him as the man who always stopped to talk on his long roundabout walks around town and who always somehow remembered their names. But friends and foes alike, all the citizens agreed that he was rich. Wasn't he rich? He must be rich. To whom would he leave all his money? So it was that the announcement of the death of Søren Kierkegaard was not going to be the end of the conversation about him by any means. It was only the beginning. The public intellectual Aaron Goldsmith wrote, "He was, without a doubt, one of the greatest intellects Denmark has produced. But he died a timely death because of his most recent activities had begun to gain him precisely the sort of popularity that he could never have harmonized with his personality. The most dangerous part of his actions against the clergy and the official church is now only just beginning, because his fate, undeniably, has something of the martyr about it." Pastor Nikolaj Grundtvig, a leading figure in the established Lutheran church and also in Danish politics, had no question about Kierkegaard's potential martyrdom. He preached a sermon on the day of Kierkegaard's burial, giving thanks that one of the icicles hanging from the church roof had now melted and fallen off. Grundtvig said of Kierkegaard, "I do not wonder that he was surprised by death, for as long as the day of the..."